of the Lord this morning. While I was sitting there, I was just thinking that we are here to worship and honor Christ. We are not here for people, we are here for Jesus. We are here because He died on the cross of Calvary for our sins. We are here because He rose on the third day, the resurrected Christ. And you know, I was thinking in the week as I was preparing for the sermon, and that without this weekend, without the crucifixion and without the resurrection, not one of us would be sitting here. We would be lost in our sins. We wouldn't have a future. We wouldn't know what the word eternal life meant. What Christ did, I don't think we fully comprehend sometimes. So I want to ask you this morning, before we go ahead with the sermon and we're going to do the communion first. So I thought it would be fitting just to speak about the cross for a minute, but I found something that I would like to read to you. And you know, I would like to ask you to please pay careful attention to the words that I'm going to read now. The heading is "Sunday is Coming." He received 39 stripes because 40 was known to kill a man. They wanted him alive. They held handfuls of his beard and hair and pulled it out by the roots. They wanted him alive. They kicked, punched, and spat on him for hours until there wasn't a single spot on his body, not covered in blood, but they wanted him alive. They shoved a crown of thorns down on his head so harshly it stuck in his skin. They wanted him alive. After hours of being beaten, mocked, whipped, flogged, and tortured, they made him walk with a cross. They made him carry it, a rough piece of wood with splinters digging into flesh wounds. They wanted him alive. They wanted him to feel every ounce of pain they could bring. He had to feel it in order to heal us. Crucifixion was historically one of the cruelest, most tortured deaths a human could face. Hours upon hours of torture. Torture most of us cannot mentally think of, because the cruelty isn't normal. It isn't something our minds can comprehend. We celebrate Easter, Passover, with pastel colors, happy children, hunting eggs, and chocolate. The truth is, there was absolutely nothing happy about the day Jesus died. Hallelujah. It was cruel, bloody, and nasty. He could have stopped all of it. He could have called every angel in heaven to demolish every person standing and shouting, "Crucify him." But he didn't. He knew in order to have a Sunday, you have to have a Friday. He knew in order to have joy, you have to carry your cross. He felt everything that day. He felt how your heart broke wide open when you had to watch your baby die. He felt how heavy your life was when you were staring down the barrel of a gun, wondering if the man you called husband was going to shoot you. He carried the weight of the burden you have felt since your spouse died, and life just doesn't seem right. On that cross, he held the rapist and murderers, the sinner and the saint. He leveled every playing field and said, "All of you are worth it." He knew he had to carry the cross. He never promised the cross you carry in this life would not be heavy. His wasn't. His promise is that Sunday is coming. No matter how heavy Friday is, financially, emotionally, mentally, or physically, Friday is heavy. That cross is weighing you down and you are about to crumble under its weight. His promise was simply this: He won't make you carry it alone. What kind of king would step down from his throne for this? Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God, did for you. He did every bit of it for you and me. Oh yes, it is heavy. So heavy sometimes you do not think you can take one more step. But these are the words that got me: "But look up. because Sunday is coming. Sunday is coming, hallelujah. Glory to God. You might be in your Friday now, but I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, and those of you who are sitting here, and I feel the presence of God over me, that Sunday is coming. And I want to say this, Sunday is here. Hallelujah. Sunday is here. Praise His mighty name. I'd like to just do the communion. I wasn't sure how to go about this, but the Spirit of the Lord said to me, do communion first. Can I just ask the ushers to come forward? What a privilege we have, beloved, to stand here in the house of God. Stand here at this table where 2,000 years ago Jesus stood, 2,000 years ago where Christ sat with His disciples and He said to them, eat and drink. This is My body that was broken for you. This is the blood of the New Testament. As often as you do it in remembrance of Me. So we approach the table of the Lord. And I'd just like to read to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, from verse 23. Paul writes, he says, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, take, eat, this is My body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me. And after the same manner, also He took the cup. When He had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in My blood. This do ye, as oft as you drink it, in remembrance of Me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till He comes. Amen. Take, eat. I'm serving to the you first. Take, eat. The body of Christ that was broken for you. Take, eat. The body of Christ that was broken for you. Take, eat. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. And after they had eaten, He took the cup. He said, drink. He said, and drink all of it. So, He wants us to be fully. Please take the bread and the wine at your own time. Hallelujah. I pray that His anointing oil will flow over each and every one of you this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege that we have to partake of Your table. The privilege to partake of the bread for Your body that was broken for us. Drink of the wine, the blood that was shed for us, the wine. Lord, the blood of the New Testament covenant. We are partakers of that this morning. You and I are covenant people. We have entered into a covenant with the Lord, God Almighty. And it was sealed and signed with the blood of Jesus Christ. It cannot be broken, ever. Never. For all eternity, the covenant stands. Hallelujah. Amen. I'd like to read the book of Luke chapter 24. And please bear with me, I'm going to read the whole chapter. Sorry, I don't normally do that, but today is the day. But please listen carefully to the word of the Lord. Now, Luke 24, from verse 1. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in, and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how that he spoke unto you when he was yet in Galilee. saying, "The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again." And they remembered his words and returned unto the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Johanna and Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. I just want to stop here for a moment. Guys, if the woman, your wife, comes to you, and a lady speaks to you, and she gives you something from God, listen. It's not idle tales. All these women, they just got it straight away. But the men, you know, what you're talking about. So, something very important to learn here. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself all that which was come to pass. And behold, two of them went that same day to the village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 60 furlongs. Now, in modern terms, that's about 6.5 kilometers. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they were communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, "What manner of communications are these that you have one to another, as you walk and are sad?" And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering and said unto him, "Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? And hast not thou the things known the things which are come to pass there in these days?" And he said unto them, that's Jesus, "What things?" And they said unto him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this day, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made an astonished, which were early to the sepulchre. And when they had found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even to be as the woman had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, "O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures?" And they rose up in the same hour and returned to Jerusalem, 6.5 kilometers back, and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon." And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spoke, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, "Peace be unto you." Now listen to this. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And when he had said unto them, Why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed, not for joy, and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and an honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you, while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it is behoved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things, and behold, I send the promise of the Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. You can see on the clip that was there, Jesus Christ, our opportunity. When they said, I must preach the word on Sunday morning, immediately the Spirit of the Lord said to me, speak about opportunity. Christ, our opportunity. And beloved, we get opportunities throughout our life. Some opportunities people give us. You know, they say, you can have a job, or come do this, come do that. And you get an opportunity. And then if you take that opportunity, then something good normally happens. Not always, something bad happens sometimes. But it is a known fact, but not spoken about very much, that Jesus Christ gives opportunities to mankind. Let that sink in a bit. He gives opportunities to mankind. Some of his opportunities are universal, where everybody can be saved. It's an opportunity for us to obtain salvation. The whole world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Everybody on the planet Earth has an opportunity to accept Christ and be saved and inherit eternal life. But then there are opportunities that are unique to individuals, that God himself says, listen, this and this and this. And I'm going to speak about some of these opportunities and what actually goes wrong. Before I take the first example, I want to say to you, I read to you the scriptures now, and we have the apostles in Jerusalem. Jesus has been crucified. He's dead. He's in the grave, according to them. And you can hear what they said. We hoped that he would deliver Israel from what? From the persecution of the Romans. They wanted to crown him king the previous week. They thought he was going to come and take them out, the nation of Israel, out from under the hand, the oppressive hand of the Roman Empire. And now, the man that they thought was going to do it, because they saw his miracles, they saw the power that he had, and they said, this is the Messiah. And they hoped. The people in the city had palms when he rode in on a donkey. Everybody, they wanted to take Jesus by force and make him king, because they believed that he would deliver the nation from the Romans and their cruelty. And here, all their hopes and all their dreams is basically dead, destroyed by the very people that were oppressing them. And they were sitting, and I wondered what was going through their minds. But what they did not understand was there was an opportunity. There was an opportunity in the making. And they did not see, they did not understand. And when Jesus met the guys walking to Emmaus, they spoke about all the things that were going on. And what did he say to them? He says, "O fools, and slow of heart to believe." And I want to say to you this morning that I think it's a thing common to man, is that we don't know how sometimes to make full use of the opportunity that God is giving us. And also, we do not always understand what God is doing. Amen? How many times have you been in thing in your life, you say, "Lord, I know you're doing this, but I don't know where this is going. I don't know what you're doing." God gives us opportunities. But it's so important that we must understand how God works. Let's have a look at Adam and Eve. Don't worry, I'm not going to take you through the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Look at Adam and Eve. God creates Adam and he puts them in the garden. He says, "You can rule over the earth, rule over the animals. You can do this, you can do that. Subdue the earth, replenish it." What did God actually do there? He gave them an opportunity. He actually gave them the whole earth. He said, "Yeah, rule over it." He didn't say to them, "Listen, out of you, the nations will come. Out of you, the earth will be subdued and the whole earth. There's a whole globe. You can go anywhere you want. There's so much for you. Everything is under your control, Adam. Go out and enjoy it. Do what I told you to do." What an opportunity. They would be the father and the mother of earth, the father and the mother of humanity. Okay? That's probably the biggest opportunity ever. And what do they do? God says, "Fine, enjoy the garden." And they were enjoying it. Adam had his new wife. Lucky fellow. And they were enjoying life, living large. All the animals, there was peace. The rivers, there was much gold. Eh? I mean, there was wealth in abundance. The water was pure. There was no pollution. Everything. God himself said when he made the earth, he looked and he saw that everything was good. Everything. And what is he gives it to Adam? There you are, Adam. And God comes every day down to earth and walks in the cool of the afternoon or the evening with them and talks to them. I mean, you know, what an opportunity. What an opportunity. And it's like that with us. We get the opportunity, but we actually don't see what God is doing. God didn't say to him, "Adam, there's a snake in the garden there, and he's the devil. Be careful of him, doesn't listen to nothing that he says." Didn't say it. He wanted Adam to rule over it. He wanted Adam to figure it out, figure out the opportunity, to understand the process of God. Hallelujah. And what happens? I said earlier on, we've got to listen to the woman, but this was one case where he shouldn't have listened. His wife goes to the tree and she listens to the devil. She picks the fruit, eats of it, and says, "This is so nice." And she picks one for Adam as well. Pleasing to the eye. And you know, that is the issue with opportunity. Once you have opportunity, you have power. You have access to wonderful things. And God gives it with pleasure. But we have to watch ourselves. Otherwise, we will go forward in the opportunity and we will wreck it. We will smash it. And I'm sure if I asked you to put your hands up here in the church, who has already had an opportunity and messed it up? We'd probably all put our hands up. Who's had opportunities and missed it? We all put our hands up. Probably all of us. If you haven't, I really would like to meet you. So God gives Adam and Eve an amazing opportunity to be the mother and the father of planet Earth and of humanity. to have access to God daily, face to face. And they eat the fruit. And I'm sure all of you know the story that God came and Adam said they were hiding because they're naked. And God said to them, who told you that you were naked? Who told you? God knew what nakedness was, but they didn't. Who told you? And he said, have you eaten of the fruit? What have you done? No. The wife starts and she said, no, it was the snake. Then Adam starts and he said, no, it was the wife. And you understand, when opportunity starts going very wrong, we try to find someone else to blame. But in actual fact, we are to blame. We mess it up. It's not the devil. It's not your wife. It's you. And that's now for Adam and for Eve, if you know what I mean. And the end of the story was they were kicked out of the opportunity, kicked out of the Garden of Eden by God, driven out. And an angel was put. They were not allowed to go back. Then the opportunity changed from blessings to great difficulty. Women had to give childbirth in pain and suffering. Men had to go and till the soil and suffer to get something out of it. But what they also didn't know, even in that opportunity, the bad one, is that the earth is going to deliver up drought and storms and floods and animals and all because God's creation was brought down by Adam and Eve. Let's go to Joseph. You all know who Joseph is, eh? You all know who Joseph is? Okay, good. Joseph, as a young boy, he dreams. He dreams the sun and the moon and the stars, they bow down before him. He dreams that the wheat in the fields bow down before his wheat. Bows down. He dreams it as a boy. So in his innocence, he goes and tells his mother and his father. He says, this is what I dreamt. They said, would we bow down and worship you? He told his brothers, and they were angry. But God started an opportunity with Joseph. And you know, one would think, wow, Lord, thank you so much. Wow, there's an opportunity for me. Something good is coming my way. My whole family will bow down in front of me. Hallelujah. My brothers will bow down. My mother and my father will bow down in front of me. Can it be, Lord? When Joseph opened his eyes, he was in the bottom of a pit. And his beautiful cloak that his father made for him was gone. And he was sold into slavery. That was after the brothers said, we're going to kill him. And they said, no, 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 no. Then they sold him into slavery. He found himself as a slave on his way to Egypt, to Pharaoh's palace. When he gets there, what do? They put him in Potiphar's house. This is the young man, hallelujah, where God gave an opportunity. The opportunity is still there. It hasn't changed. It hasn't been taken away. It's all that happened is God left Joseph alone to work it out. And you and I this morning, if we want to make full use of the opportunity of God, hallelujah, glory to God, we must work it out. We must understand there's a process. It's not a thing of God does never, listen, never, as far as I know, except in the New Testament when Jesus came, that he gives opportunities and immediately the next 5 minutes it all happens. There's a process. And the process can be painful. And Joseph ends up in Potiphar's house. Now, he must have been quite a handsome fellow because Potiphar's wife was after him, the poor guy. He says, Lord, I'm going to be blessed. The sun and the moon and the stars are going to bow down to me. I'm going to be a man in great authority. And next thing, this Potiphar's wife is after him. The poor guy, but thank God. Thank God for that man. In his mind, he realized, listen, I cannot sin against God. And on a day when she tried to grab him, he left his and he ran. And she turns around and says, listen, this guy raped me. He tried to force himself on me. Where does Joseph find himself now? In prison. Things aren't going too well with his revelations. You know? I'm sure he thought to himself, Lord, but this dreams. Lord, my father is my mother, my children, my brothers. You said that the sun and the moon, my father and mother, the stars, my brothers, they will bow down. But Lord, here I am in prison. But thank God for Joseph that lived close to the Lord, that allowed him to understand there's a process to go through. Thank God that, because we have examples throughout the Bible of those that didn't obey and understand the process and those that did. And he was in prison, and we know the story. And when the skunker, the butler, was released, he said, when you appear in front of Pharaoh, please think of me. Dink aan my. Love those words, you know. Dink aan my as jy voor die koning kom. Wat 'n prachtige woord. Hey? How beautiful it is. Hey? Think of me when you come before the king. And I say to the church, think of me when you appear before the king. Let's think of one another when we appear before the king. Hallelujah. And you know what the Bible says? The butler forgot about Joseph. Like, you know, this guy can't catch a break. Hallelujah. But the Almighty God of heaven and earth is sitting on his throne and he's looking down on heaven and he's looking at Joseph in the prison. Glory to God. Hallelujah. In the misery of those prisons. It's not like today, nice green floors and TVs and bars, and it's dirty and it's not so nice. No air conditioning, and I don't think the food was so good. But the Bible says that Joseph had a spirit of excellence. When you are busy with a thing from God, when you are busy with a, what is that word? A circle. Just remind me, what's my preacher's thing? The opportunity. When you are busy with an opportunity from the Lord, hallelujah. One of the things that you can see where it works, there's a spirit of excellence. If you apply the spirit of excellence into the opportunity that God has given you, somewhere along the line, maybe not immediately, but somewhere, the doors are going to go open. And I was praying the other day, and I said, Lord, I said, my God, you know, I preached the gospel for 30 years. I traveled to many countries on television, radio. But when my wife passed away, I sat at home, and I've been there now almost 4 years. The Lord said, go into your house and shut yourself in the house and keep quiet. But the other day in the prayer meeting here, the Lord said to me, I'm calling you to preach my word. And today is actually the first preach from that instruction. So I really hope and pray there will be many more. But there's an opportunity. Hallelujah. There's an opportunity. We've got to have the spirit of excellence. We've got to understand the process. I've been in a process for 4 years. 4 years. Hallelujah. And then on the day, God gives Pharaoh a dream. Glory to God. And he says, who can interpret this dream? And the butler says, I remember a guy. Can you imagine? Hey? I remember, there's a guy in prison 3 years later. I think Joseph probably said, yes, what kind of a friend is this? When they came to him with a dream, he interprets it, he goes out and he forgets about Joseph. And he tells Pharaoh, he says, there's a guy in prison. Pharaoh says, bring him. And I was praying this last year, and the Spirit of God said to me, Graham, listen to these words. In a moment, you can hear the key in the door, and the door can swing open and say, the king wants to see you. In a moment, one moment, Joseph was still carrying on with prison life, and the keys came in the door and rattled, and they creaked those old wooden doors open, I suppose. And they said, where's Joseph? He said, me. He said, come, the king I don't like using the name Pharaoh, but it was Pharaoh. But the king wants to see you. And I'm sure they cleaned him up. And I'm sure they put nice clothes on him. And they took him in front of the king. And the king told him the dream. And God, there's a God in heaven that revealeth secrets. And Joseph tells him everything. And you know what? You know what? The doors for his opportunity have started to open. They've started to open. One would think that God in his power would do this and do that. No. First to Potiphar. First in the pit. First to Potiphar. First falsely accused. First in prison. Wait. The Bible says until the time of Joseph came. Hallelujah. And I want to tell you this morning, there's a time for each and every one of us. But you need to understand that. You need to understand that Christ is our opportunity. He gives us the opportunities. It's Him. No one else but Him. And Pharaoh was so impressed with this young man. What does he do? He says, you will only be second unto me. They put rings on his finger, put him on the horses, ride him through the streets. And he immediately has absolute power in Egypt. His brothers come. This is how God's opportunity works. His brothers come. And what do? They fall down in front of him. And they bow and they worship and honor him. And what does Joseph say at some point? He says, what you have meant for evil, God has done for good. Hallelujah. The circumstances that are meant for evil, God has got a plan for good. Hallelujah. I tell you, you might have had your Fridays and your Fridays and your Fridays for years. Glory to God. But I tell you that Sunday is coming for you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God is not a respecter of person. He loves every one of us. Listen to me. When he died on the cross, he didn't die for me and only Derek. And he died for everybody. Every person sitting in this church, Christ gave his life for you, for your sins, that you can become free and give you the biggest opportunity of all to be saved. Eternal life. Hallelujah. Hey? Eternal life. But before that opportunity comes to fruition, we've got to live on this earth. It's still got to unfold. But there will come a day, hear what I tell you, and I don't think that day is too far, where the heavens will rent and the trumpets will blow and the Lord Jesus Christ will appear in the clouds of glory and he will take his people with him. Hallelujah. It's an opportunity this morning that God has given us. We complain on this road of life. Here, hoe kom is dit so moeilik? If there's one word I used to say, Here, sorry I'm talking Afrikaans, but I assume everybody understands. I say, Lord, Here, onthou u nog wie is ek? Weet u wat my naam is? Wie dit al gesê? Huh? Who already said, Lord, do you know my name? Hallelujah. Yes, he knows your name. It's engraved into the palms of his hands. Glory to God. He's fully aware. But you might be in prison. And I've been in that place of mine for nearly 4 years. And the Lord said to me, in a moment, Graham, in a moment, there's a process to follow. The other night in the prayer meeting, he said to you, I want you to preach my word. And then I said, Lord, where? He said, wherever I send you. And I've been all over the planet, all half of the planet. The east I haven't been to. That's another story. Beloved, when Christ gives us an opportunity, there's a process. And there are people, look at David, King David. Let's see. This guy. I mean, look at the Psalms that he wrote. I read the Psalms and I marvel. I was in the military, so I understand him as a soldier. I marvel that a soldier can write those words. How? It's amazing. But in this process, Samuel crowns him, anoints him as future king of Israel. Then for 25 years, Saul persecutes him. gets chased around. The Bible says that he was like a flea on the mountains. He hopped from mountain to mountain, fleeing these persecutors. And any normal thinking person would say, Lord, but you know, am I really? But David understood God. He understood there's a procedure to go through. And I mean, he takes Uriah's wife, and then he murders Uriah. You know, then he lies. Then he tries to hide everything up. And then at the end of all this, when he's punished, God says, David's a man after my own heart. Not because of his sins and the things that he's done. It's because he understands what God is busy with. He understands what God tries to accomplish, and he works with the Lord. You know, if ever there was somebody that missed it horribly, it was Judas Iscariot. I was reading in the scriptures, and Jesus called him the son of perdition. You know, and he walked with the Lord, he saw the miracles, he ate with him, and he chooses to betray him. You know, he had the same opportunity as all the other apostles, the same. There was no difference. He had the same opportunity, the same, and he chooses to go and sell Christ for 40 pieces of silver. Was it 30? 30 pieces of silver. And the end of that is hanging from a tree, from the end of a rope. You know? This is how dangerous an opportunity can be, is if we misunderstand what God is actually trying to do. And then we just throw it away. And then we reap the rewards of what we have done. In my own life, I've seen opportunities. And, you know, if I think back, I just shake my head. No one told me how important an opportunity is. And when God comes your way and he puts an opportunity before you, grab it with both hands. Don't reason about it. Just grab it. You don't have to understand it. Just grab it. You look at the Israelites. God said to them, I'm going to take you out of Egypt, out of bondage, and I'm going to take you to the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Vineyards that you did not plant, houses that you did not build, a beautiful land. They go through the desert, they get to the Jordan, and they say, no, they're giants. And I read the scripture this week, and God said, turn around and go back into the desert. Your little ones will go, and Joshua and Caleb. Can you understand the opportunity? Can you understand how they misunderstood the plan of God? All God wanted was, trust me, have faith, have faith. And they didn't want that. Even Moses missed it. Because God said to him, go and speak to the rock. What does Moses do? He strikes the rock twice. Immediately God says to him, because you did not believe and obey me, he said, you will not go into the promised land. I mean, that's serious stuff, you know. So what I really want to try and get across, and I believe the Lord said to me, speak about the opportunities in Christ. There are many opportunities in Christ, many. Everything that can be known to man, Jesus gives some to this one, some to that one. But there are opportunities for sure. For sure. There's not one person sitting here. I am heilig oortuig. There's not one person sitting here that God has not given opportunities to and that does not still have opportunities for. But the process. The process. And they missed it. Joshua says, God's given us the land. Let's go. No, no, they're giants. You know? Things we don't understand. We don't have to understand. What we need to understand is that we have something that God has given us, and we must believe what he is doing. We must have the faith. When I came down here, let me tell you something. Up in Umhlanga, I had a business. We had 650 people. I had trucks. We had millions coming in, and I lived on a very big house, me and my wife and my family, in Umhlanga Ridge. I go to the shower in the morning, and the Lord said to me these words, sell what you have and go to the Cape. And I will tell you there where you must go after that. So my immediate response was, get thee behind me, Satan. Opportunity, like, start like that, A few days later, the Spirit of the Lord says to me again, I don't know why he says it in the shower, but anyway, I was in the shower. He said, Graham, sell what you have and go to the Cape. He said, and if you don't sell it, he said, I'm going to sell it for you. And then I realized, okay, here is no moeilikheid. So I just said, let's sell. So my wife at the time said, ja, maar wat van die huis? I said, ja, and I told the Lord that, let's put it on the market and just say we want a cash buyer. I put it on in the morning. In the afternoon, a guy walked in and said, I'm paying you cash for this house. It's sold. Fuck, you know, I think God wanted us to come out. And, you know, we came here, and I knew when I came here that my wife would die because she had cancer, you know. She was 7 years with cancer, and she died. And I knew that, but I'm here now. There's still an opportunity that's busy. I might be locked in a prison, but I'm just waiting for the key to turn in the door, you know. In a moment, the Lord says, in a moment. You're waiting for the key to turn in a moment. This morning when I was getting ready, I had such a strong anointing over me. And I want to tell you something. God has opportunities for his people. And I'm going to tell you too this morning that one of the things the Lord said to me is the battle is not yours. The battle is the Lord's. You stand and behold the deliverance of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jy wat daar sit, die Heere het vir my gesê, vrees vir niks, want die Heere God is met jou. Hy gaan jou vooruit. Vrees vir niks. Halleluja. En die Heere gaan die dinge verander vir jou, met jou kinders, soos jy gesmeek het en gebid het. Maar hoor die woord van die Heere, gaan sê vir hulle, God sê, hy het hulle versigtinge verhoor. He has heard their sighing. He has heard their words and he's seen their tears. Hallelujah. Mense, the opportunities that are there for us are mighty. The cross, when Christ was crucified, that was for our salvation. When it moved through the tomb, the third day when it came out, that is our opportunity. That is where Christ, and you can go and read it in Revelation chapter 1. Let me read it for you. Let me just read that scripture. He says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Then he says this in verse 18, in verse 17, I'm going to start there. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand on me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And then he says this, and have the keys of hell and of death. Those keys represent an opportunity to you and me to escape hell. To escape the fiery place, the place that's prepared for the devil and his angels and those that reject Christ. Those keys. And over death. Death, where is your sting? Hallelujah. When we die, glory to God. When we die, we just change bodies. Do you know that we cannot die? Do you realize that? Do you realize that you have, as you sit here, you're not going to get eternal life when you come on the other side. You have eternal life now, today. You will never die. Your body will die, but you will never die. The big question is, do we make full use of the opportunity of Christ? Do we serve Him? Do we obey His word? Do we walk in His will? Hallelujah. So that when He comes, we will go to heaven. There are only two places you can go to for eternity. To heaven or to hell. I said to my children the other night, we were talking about the things of the Lord. I said, make sure that your name is written in the book of life. Make sure. You must sit here today and say, Lord, is my name written there? Make sure it's there. Make sure that you've given your heart to Christ. Make sure, hallelujah, that your name is there. One night I had a massive thing with the Lord. I tell you, my room filled with clouds of glory, not in a dream, in real life. And the glory descended in my room. I was kneeling and praying. And I saw a vision of the Lord, and he stood there with this big white book. And I realized it was the book of life, and he swung it open. There were about 30 people with him. And I swung it open, and he went. The names are in columns like this, just one row. And you know what? Though your name is written in that book in liquid gold. It's written in gold, not blue ink, Indian ink, or black ink, or a red pen, or a green pen. It's written in with gold. Your name is there in gold, and it's just there. And he opened it, and I saw my name, and he touched it. And as he touched it, I saw that behind my name, everything I've ever said and done, it's like a Swiss hard disk, not quite, but everything I've ever said and done is behind that name. The power of that book. But thank God it's there. Make sure your name is in the book of life. How do we get it there? By accepting Christ as our personal Savior. It's as simple as that. By being born again and walking in the ways of God. Hallelujah. When they go to heaven, they won't say, yes, well done. Well done you. Well done the preaching. Well done this and well done that. Is his name written in the book of life? Is her name written in the book of life? I tell you something, our names are on lots of registers in this world and country. It's all over the place. But there's only one book where your name has to be, the book of life. So let us make sure this morning, and I am convinced as I stand here, this earth is standing at the precipice of destruction. If God doesn't help, we will enter into the Third World War. You hear what I tell you? You'll probably say, ah, Pastor. I'm telling you, if God does not help this earth, we will enter into the Third World War. You can go and look. The revelation of the Antichrist is all over the world. Little bit by little bit, he's being shown. This Pope, when they voted him in, when they were voting for him, I'm sorry if there's anybody here that likes the Pope, but I didn't know him, but I dreamt in the night. I dreamt who they chose. And I didn't know the guy. But he was standing and he was come walking forward. And on his left he had a bishop and on his right he had a bishop. But the thing in the dream was this. Above their heads, each one of them, this big, was the letter 666. And there God was saying, hallelujah, and I feel the anointing of the Lord. There God was saying that this guy is going to usher in the era of the Antichrist. And they're going through the world signing agreements to get a one world government, to get a one world church. The time is running out. Tick tock. The sands of the hourglass is running out, beloved. Christ, our opportunity. When I first heard the word opportunity, I thought, oh, it sounds a bit funny, you know. But when you think about it, when you stand in front of the throne of God and he says, you can't come in. But Lord, I did this, Lord, I did that. He said, yeah, you had the opportunity. But you did not understand what I wanted. You did not live accordingly. And you know, I have a thing in my heart. May God help us that all of us get saved. All of us are ready. When the trumpet blows and the rapture takes place, that we're all ready. That not one of us will stay behind. I've had opportunities. I went to Llandudno once many years back. And I was riding around and an agent got hold of me. And he said to me this. He said, come, I want to show you a house you can buy. So he took me to old house. And I looked at this house. I thought, no, I don't think so. I said, how much is it? He said, 500,000 rand. In Llandudno, full beachfront view. That house is probably worth 20 million today. Opportunity wasted. We mustn't be so arrogant that when opportunity knocks, near donkey, Stand still and say, Here, is dit God is 'n geleentheid om vir my iets te doen. I would have made 20 million rand there. Then where I lived in Umhlanga, there was a place, we lived on the ridge. There was an area that we rode past. There was about 150 plots there. They were selling for 350 rand for one. 350,000 rand for one. I could have bought every single one of those plots. A year and a half, 2 years later, each one of those plots was sold in excess of 2.5 million rand for one. And you know, I rode past that place every day, morning, noon, and night. I'd look at the ground and say, yes, I wonder when they're going to start building here. Duh. Opportunity. We can be blind to opportunity. Blind. Who has ever heard of Zimbali Estate in Natal? I went there, and it's today you can't get ground there even. I rode around, and an agent took me there and said, let me show you a plot that you can buy. Got there, and it was the same thing, 500,000 rand. I said, no, you're mad. Piece of bush like this. Like, you know. No, no, thank you. No, it's going to come popular. Yeah, okay, I don't think so. Now a house is 10, 15, 20 million rand. The stand would probably be about 2, 3 million. I don't think there's stands left. If opportunity comes your way, take it. Make sure it's God, eh? Not the devil. You know, the Bible says that the devil can come as an angel of light. It says he has an opportunity. Everybody goes out Monday morning. This is an opportunity. Pa, Lord. But the pastor said, the warning, read the fine print at the bottom. Pas op dat het nie die duivel is nie. Sometimes we take an opportunity and then we realize, and I took an opportunity like that once. A guy, when I left my job and I wanted to go into business, this one guy said to me, come with me to business, because he knew I had lots of contacts. And foolishly, I took it, but I knew him because we worked together at a previous company. So I went into business with this man. And when we were in business, every morning we hit the work, he would sit behind his desk drinking whiskey. Now I'm a child of God, eh? So now anyway, we get there, and the Lord uses me, and I secured a big contract, a massive contract in Joburg, the Joburg Sun, in the heart of Johannesburg. And I tell you, things went wild. And one day I walked into him, and his name was Dave. I said, Dave, you know I serve the Lord. I said, you need to repent. I said, if you don't, things are going to go very badly wrong for you. Repent, bro. You know what he did? He picked up the little machine that we used to do presentations with, and he threw it across the room, and it hit the wall of the office. And he said, yeah. He said, before I do that, he says, I'm going to talk to him, the man upstairs, and he's going to answer some questions. And I found out afterwards that he used to preach the word of God. He said to me, Graham, I would preach under so much power that the pulpit would split in half. He said, I used to lay my hands on blind people and they were healed. And he fell back. And then a little bit of time went by, not much, and one night I dreamt I was sitting on a boat in the middle of the ocean, but the water was calm. And when I looked over the edge of the boat, there was a great white shark circling the boat, and I'm talking about a big shark. And the voice of God said in the dream, separate yourself from this man. And I knew exactly what was going on. So I went in the next day. I said, listen, you can buy my shares. I'm done. So he paid me out and I left. So I'm just saying, remember, not all opportunities are from God. It might look like a wonderful opportunity. And then when you go and you go through the process, then you realize where you are, you know. So I thank God for his word. I trust that it's meant something to you. Can I just ask you, who in this life has had opportunities and basically missed it? Eh? If you've missed opportunities, it's common to mankind. And I suppose the secret of life is you've got to obtain more opportunities and be successful than you miss. If you miss more and obtain less, then it goes wrong. So we all make mistakes. before the crucifixion, that would be a done deal for us. It's over for us. But now we have the crucifixion. Now we have the resurrection Christ, resurrected Christ. We have the resurrection today, and he reset everything. Everything was nailed to the cross. All your faults, all your failings, all the things that you did that ended up in a mess, it's nailed to the cross. Hallelujah. And God says, forget the things that are behind you and stretch yourself out to the things that are ahead of you, to the opportunities that he has in store for you. Hallelujah. Why would you ponder on the things that actually took you to the foot of the cross? Shake it off. In newness of life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In newness of life. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You see, brother. God is on the throne. Prys sy lieflike naam. God is op die troon. He loves his people. Hallelujah. He's with his people. Your opportunity. Maybe we've messed it up. Oh, God knows I've messed up every opportunity. Most opportunities, not every one. Some of them. But there's a new chance. Eh? There's the resurrected Christ in whom your opportunities are locked up. Eh? You've walked before the Lord all these years and you've kept your faith and you've never stood back. Hallelujah. With the word of God, always ready to say something. And the Lord says, I will carry you and I will walk with you until your last mile, and I will welcome you into glory. Hallelujah. Glory to God. They say, no. I just had my conscience talk to me. This is altar call. If there's anybody that feels they want to come forward, you feel maybe you've messed up your things. All I want, I'm not asking you for repentance. If you feel, if you haven't given your heart to Christ, then you need to come forward. Make use of this opportunity. You know, I was thinking in the week preparing for this. Do you realize with what's going on the earth, this could be the last communion that we take on Ascension Day? Do you know that there will be a last day, a last Ascension Day? This could be the last one a year from now. You don't know, we don't know what's coming down the road. There's a disaster on the earth. Evil is everywhere. And it's like it's picked up its speed, you know? So I just want to say to you, if you have not given your heart to the Lord, then I want you to please come forward. Now is your opportunity. If you have opportunities that you've messed up, bring it forward this morning and put it at the foot of the cross. And make a decision to put it there and to leave it there. And when you walk away, say, Lord, I forget the things that are behind me. Hallelujah. It's not about our weakness. It's about honoring the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's why we must forget. Hallelujah. We must forget because of who Jesus is, because of what he has done. Let us not insult him and live in the past. Gooi dit achter jou. Hallelujah. And if those, I suppose the whole church is going to come to the front now. But if there's anybody that feels, Lord, I want an opportunity, I think you must just come. An opportunity to come to the front. So please come forward, and then we will pray for you, myself and the elders.